Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Happy Lunar New Year, my friend, and happy new supermoon in Aquarius. This is the official start of the Lunar New Year that is celebrated and honored in many lineages and cultures throughout the world, throughout the ages, as opposed to the Gregorian calendar, a new year that begins on January 1st. This new year, the Lunar New Year, begins with this particular new moon. And so we see this in Chinese astrology, which I think is probably the most in terms of its presence and awareness in mainstream media, is probably the most prevalent. And you're probably seeing a lot of talk about the year of the dragon. So we're going to get a little bit into that. But really, across the globe, in most indigenous cultures, we are tuning into a lunar calendar and a lunar pace as it pertains to time and our year. And so this is a really auspicious time, not just because it's a new supermoon. I love my Aquarius. I got my moon in Aquarius and all the Aquarian vibes that are happening that I've been talking about, and that many astrologers and people all across these interwebs talking about esoterica and the stars, the importance and relevance of Aquarian energy. But really, because this marks the beginning of a new cycle. So we're going to get into that. But one thing that I did want to share was a new offering that is coming out. I'm really thrilled and honored to call in a handful of folks who are feeling this energy of emergence. And that's where this is really coming from. This offering, which is a mentorship, it's a one-on-one mentorship, is really coming from this place to support the healers and the light workers and those who are here to be of service to the globe, to the world, to the collective in a really healing way. And it's to support your emergence. And this is one thing that I have seen within my groups and my other one-on-one clients is so much of the work that we're being called to do this year, in this cycle that we're in this generation, really, and moving forward for these next two decades and beyond, we are bridge builders. We are building something that is new, something that is also ancient, but it has a new form. And a lot of that work really requires us as the builders and the seers and the managers or the consultants, right? Depending, I mean, even if you look at it through human design, we have our different roles. Not all of us are meant to do the actual building portion, but like the seeing, the oversight, the managing, and the manifestation of it. We need to tap into our inner truth, our gifts, our intuitive knowing, and our channeling powers in order to stay in harmony and coherence with our heart, what our heart desires, and the collective feel, the heart field of the collective, so that we can birth something that is actually beautiful and harmonious versus repeating an old story, which is something that we see time and time again. And what is required is really for us to do that deep work and to what I call awaken the oracle within. So I am introducing a brand new one-on-one Akashic mentorship for the healers, the helpers, the change makers, the light workers, and it's called Awaken the Oracle Within. We will dive into a partnership together where I'm supporting you over 3 or 6 or 12 months, your choice, to not only tap into your unique gifts of your intuition, channeling, healership, but to become an oracle, what that actually means and what it takes to do that. So, of course, you'll initiate into working with the Akashic Records through the lineage that I have received, and create your unique body of work. Discover what that is. So find clarity in your highest purpose as a healer, as a light worker, and to support you in your path to initiation. This was channeled to me. Of course, you know, this is how I work. I connect with my business deva, with my high self, with God, goddess, and all of our benevolent support in the highest realms to ask, like, what is it that the collective needs right now? And how can I be of service? What can I do to support the collective and those folks that I'm calling in, who I have a soul contract with, to assist them in their process? And I received this container, this offering, and the tarot card, Temperance. And what I love about this is that Temperance is about emergence. Temperance is the last card of the second line of the major arcana. So in tarot, depending on different schools of learning, you will see 3 primary lines connected to the major arcana. And line 2 is an underworld journey. This is about us moving into the depths of the unknown and really releasing the small ego, shedding aspects of ourselves, doing a lot of the work to connect more deeply with our spirit and our intuitive knowing. This is the line of the chrysalis. So it's this transformative journey that brings us toward an expansive rebirth. And so the Temperance card is at the very end of this chrysalis line. So much is cleared up. You've done so much work as a person who's here, who's heart-centered and wanting to be of service in the world, a healer who has done so much work already. But now you are moving through a deeper alchemical shift and you're coming out of this chrysalis line. And so what does it mean to begin to emerge out of that? Well, the Temperance card is ruled by Sagittarius, and Sagittarius is connected to Jupiter. Jupiter is about expansion, big expansion, learning, and it's lifelong. These are really far-reaching, soul-level, slow-moving lessons. And Temperance is one of those that is not just about the self, but it's about the collective and this journey that we're here, not just for ourselves, but how do we now begin to step into service in the fullest expression of who we are? So Jupiter indicates expansion of the self, and the reminder of oneness, that we are connected in unity to all that is, to everyone around you, but also to God, Goddess, and Source. Jupiter represents this principle of growth and generation or regeneration. So movement that takes the soul towards fulfilling its destiny and achieving its purpose. In Vedic astrology, Jupiter is known as Guru, great teacher. And in classical Western astrology, Jupiter is connected to the mystics, to the priestesses, clergy, and other religious and spiritual figures. So Jupiter is about building the foundation for your life, but rooted in spirit, rooted with the cosmos. It connects you with who you are at that soul and celestial level so that you can do your work from that place of connection of the truest self. So Jupiter ruling Temperance, it's really about alchemy and stepping into your greater path of what you came here to do. So it's a really profound card. It's a profound energy and stage that we are in. But the one thing that Temperance also says is that you are not meant to do this alone and you can't do it alone. You have come to the point where now it's about communing and collaborating with divine and universal assistance. So what this mentorship is about connecting you not only to the oracle that is within you, but through that connection to the vast divine, celestial, spiritual support and allies that are available to you. Where WIP, the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway, which is my group mentorship and mastermind program that's 9 months long, that's completely separate. It's totally different curriculum and really different purpose for that container. That is connected with the Chariot. And these are very parallel energies, the Chariot and Temperance. The Chariot is about really having gone as far as you can go on a particular road on your journey. Like, let's say you're a nutritionist, you're a doctor, you know, maybe you've been dabbling in some energy work, but like you've really taken it as far as you can go in that area. And now you're ready to evolve and to step into a different platform, a different practice, way of practicing. So that's what WIP is about. Temperance, and this is a private mentorship where you have me in your back pocket. This is about the personal journey of expansion into that third line of the tarot. You are cracked open and you're ready to start inviting and collaborating with divine and support in the unseen realm. And you're moving into that line three that is sparked by your willingness to say yes to your soul work. Now, line three is a journey of becoming. It's an initiation that is about coming into the fullest expression of your soul self and remembering that you are part of the whole. It's the unity. But emerging from that chrysalis from line two, even though you're coming out as that butterfly with Temperance, there is still work to do. There's like, how do I even use these freaking wings? I'm wet, I'm tired, I'm shaken, I don't have energy or I don't have direction, or maybe I'm still not quite out of the chrysalis, like I have one leg out, but I can't quite see even though I have the form of my body. There's assistance, fully emerge and fly with my new wings. Well, it's in learning how to work with the cosmic, celestial, and spiritual support that is available to you and that can be found through the channel within. So it is my deepest honor to invite you, if this is resonating, and I hope, you know, even if this is not something that you're interested in, I feel it's really helpful to hear these journeys and these archetypes because they reflect the truth of humanity and like the existence here on the material plane and on Earth in our evolutionary process. But if you do feel that call, a lighting up and something that is beckoning you and asking you to look a little deeper, then I would love to go into the DMs with you, as they say, and start a conversation. There is an application form for this so we can make sure that we are a good fit. And when you fill the application, then I'll send you an invitation to explore further and ask me any and all questions. So all of the information will be available for you on my website. You'll find it at wildlyrooted.com/oracle. And the application will be there as well. But you can also reach out to me on Instagram. I'm at wildlyrooted. You could shoot me a DM, comment on one of the posts, and I'd be more than happy to explore with you and answer any and all of your questions. So that's for this offering. One last other announcement. If that private mentorship is just beyond the scope of where you are right now, it's not in alignment currently, but you do want some support, some one-on-one support, I have just opened up my books for private Akashic Soul Record readings. So if you want a one-on-one session where I dive deeply into your Akashic Soul Records, connect with your guides, angels, and benevolent spirit beings that are here in support of your becoming and answer the questions that are held in your heart, then let's get together and do this. You can access the link to schedule over at wildlyrooted.com/Akashic Records, or just click the link in the show notes for the one-on-one Akashic Soul Record readings. Now I want to go into this new moon. Before that, I think setting the tone and the context as it pertains to this month of February can be helpful because there's quite a lot happening, actually. So February 1st, we had Imbolc. This was about new life, initiation, and gestation. February really invokes this power of Pluto and Aquarius. We've been talking about this over the past few moon musings and other episodes. And it's about the 20-year transit that is heralding really big changes as it pertains to society, as it pertains to structures and building new things, especially within technology and communications and consciousness. So I feel like there's a lot here in terms of Pluto's energy and how we can feel into the very beginnings of this 20-year journey that we're going to take with Pluto, getting our feet wet with this energy this month. You're going to start to find out how Pluto and Aquarius is really impacting you. Where is it showing up in your life? Is it showing up as it pertains to your path and purpose, or maybe your resources, your work? Maybe it's showing up in your body and health, or perhaps your relationships. So starting to look, if you know where Pluto and Aquarius is in your chart, do a little bit of digging there and set yourself up for a deeper understanding of what's to come. Because we don't know fully, of course, how everything is going to unfold, but we can assist ourselves in understanding the cosmic stage, if you will. And I think that's one of the gifts with astrology, is that we could be like, oh my God, okay, so it's not just me, number one, right? I'm not alone in this. And there are real energies and impulses and flows that are happening on this cosmic stage. And I am a part, I'm a character in this cosmic stage. How does it relate to me? And how do I relate to it? I think it's really helpful in processing and integrating what can often be challenging things that show up, right, that we experience in our lives. And of course, also understanding transits and all of that, it's kind of a lifesaver for our mental health, I think, when we can say, oh, okay, oh my gosh, like that was really, really challenging. And no wonder, like this was happening at this particular time. And, you know, it's going to move out of that in the next couple of weeks. So, okay, I can do the work that I need to do to support myself. I can call in the allies and support that I need to help me move through this while I'm in it. So that's my little commercial for astrology that I do. Although if you're listening to this, you don't need that, right? I'm like preaching to the choir. So here we have Mercury, planet of communication. moved into the sign of Aquarius also on February 4th, and it's going to be there for most of February. So Mercury also connected to the air element, Aquarius, as a fixed air sign. This is really coming into kind of research energy, you know, like getting your nose in the books, fact checking, analysis. We can go deep into rabbit holes of research and science and, you know, logic and data and all of that. So this is a wonderful time to utilize that kind of direction with our communication. But I think there's also the reminders that we need that while research and so-called proof and getting clarity through that and highlighting misinformation is needed and helpful, we just need to remember our emotions and our feelings, right? And I think as an Aquarius moon, but a Cancer sun, I like live that because they're like checking each other. You know, my Aquarius moon is sometimes like Cancer sun, like just deal with it, right? Like, or we can find a logical way out of this. And my Cancer sun is like, but I just need to cry, right? So that's kind of like a mini version of what's going on here. At least that's my experience of it when it pertains to like Mercury in a sign like Aquarius. It's just kind of like in your communication style, in your relating with others, just remember to bring heart into it and to bring emotional intelligence, not just the kind of intelligence, like cerebral intelligence that a lot of Western educational institutions really uphold. I think there's a lot more to intelligence that we need to remember into our daily communications. When we have Mercury conjunct Pluto in Aquarius, again, deep research, right? Pluto wants to go super deep and like unearth the shit. So again, we might feel that. We might also see truth coming to light. So Pluto really uncovering things, like uncovering misinformation, falsities, corruption, and especially in science and in research. So that'll be interesting to kind of feel into. We have also Mars squaring Eris, who is the warrior of love. And this energy, you know, reminds me a bit of like Durga, like this. It's like this warrior, divine, feminine energy, but in the name of love, which can sound kind of contradicting for some people. But love comes in all shapes, ways, and forms. And I believe that that warrior energy is absolutely needed when it comes to love. So this is really connected to this like fight for sovereignty, for humanity. And I think we're just going to see more and more of that. I mean, we're already seeing a lot of that. There's a lot of anger and fire. Mars has been playing a big role in a lot of that. And obviously, for good reason, and a lot of the strife that's happening across the globe, what's happening in Gaza. But in general, I feel like this energy is going to continue forward in different ways because it has to. When we're building new systems, parallel systems, when we're building a new existence and world from a place of love and heart-centeredness, but we need that fire. We need that warrior energy to even be able to build that bridge. So how can we embrace that, but also not allow it to burn us out and burn bridges? Because ultimately, Aquarius is about supporting the collective and bridge building. So we don't want to F that up, right, with unchecked anger and Mars energy. So we need to look at that within ourselves as well. Then February 9th, today, the new supermoon in Aquarius happening at 20 degrees of Aquarius. So check where that is happening in your chart. What house is it falling in? Again, that's going to help assist you in understanding some of the deeper relevancies as it pertains to the areas of your life. The Aquarius new moon coinciding, of course, with this new year, new lunar year, and the year of the dragon. So I'll be touching a little bit on this. And this is from a perspective of somebody who, I am not a Chinese astrologer. I am not of the Taoist tradition. I don't have that background. So these are bits that I received from friends and colleagues who are and who have shared some of the insights. And these are the ones that stuck with me as someone who has studied more from a Western lens and traditional, like, Western lens. There, of course, are so many through lines and overlaps, because when we're looking at, I just have to like say this little preamble in the beginning, whether we're looking at Chinese astrology, Jyotish Vedic astrology, or Western traditional astrology, or any other kind of, as you know, there's Mayan, what we're actually looking at, it's all the same thing. But we're looking at it from different perspectives. And so it's almost like different maps. There is that adage of that talks about looking at an elephant. And if you had three blind people that are touching the elephant, they're going to describe different things, but they're touching the same creature. Or if you're looking at a snow globe, but you're looking at the same scene just from different angles, you're going to see different things. You're going to share different perspectives. And of course, those are extremely simplistic ways of explaining, you know, how there are so many different astrologies and way and systems and ways of looking at things, and yet they're all looking at the same thing. The energetics are the same. So all of them are right, and they all have something beautiful to add, to share. As my mentor Susan Lipschitz always says, as petals of the same flower. So when it comes to Chinese astrology, the year of the dragon, this is said to be a so-called lucky year. And this is a great year to meet obstacles, because the dragon is really connected to confidence and purpose and success. Now, this is in relation to the cosmic stage, right? A larger cosmological cycle. So how this shows up in your personal life doesn't mean like the themes of the wood dragon are not going to be the exact themes that are happening in your life, because you have your personal circumstances and your life and your will, but it's within the cosmic stage. So I just want to share that, because I don't want you to be like, well, Vanessa said that this is going to be the year of success and confidence. And man, I did not experience that. And that's because you had a very different experience based off of your personal energy, the cycle that you are in within this greater cycle. So the dragon. The dragon is this energy of transformation and imagination and high creativity and really power in service of both personal and collective liberation. What I love about that is very connected to Aquarian energy and sort of this Aquarian age, right? And dragon is a being of vital chi, like ready to do the thing, ready to take the risk. There's also like that drive, motivation, ambition that comes with us that could possibly lead to success, of course. Now, there's the wood element here that is plugged in with this dragon energy, and wood connected to the springtime. Springtime is about emergence. It's about exploration and growth and rebirth, newness. So take that potency of the dragon energy and combine it with that wood energy and that wood intelligence. I think it complements the agility and adaptability and the lushness, the growth, that the possibilities of growth there. But of course, with that, we also have to just pay attention that we don't get carried away, right, with that kind of energy. So this is really great for beginnings, like dare to be seen, dare to do the thing, plant the seeds for what it is that you are envisioning. So allowing that energy to bring that vision to manifestation. But it may not have to do necessarily with actual manifestation in the material realm, right? Like of money or love, but it could be around resourcing and support for the collective, or tapping into the wellspring that is available to you in this time for your own evolution. And so through that, how you can show up and play a role in this collective dance that we're in. So in this year of the Wood Dragon, there is this passionate action that we can take. There's this risk tolerance has increased, but it's in service to the collective. And again, that's very Aquarian in energy. And I love that it's happening with this new moon, because Aquarius is all about liberation for the collective, right? And healing for the personal and the collective. And how do we do that? Well, we tap into our unique gifts and capacities and role that are aligned with the communities and also the visions that we are holding. So again, another plug, if you are feeling the call to step into that more deeply, find mentorship, find guidance. It may not be with me, but find something that supports you in this expansion. And it may not look like you fully coming out this year. Of course, it depends on your personal journey and cosmology, right? Like cycles, what you are in right now. But this is what's happening on a more cosmic stage. And so it's impacting you, and there's opportunity to explore that. So let's come back to Pluto now. Pluto is connected to power. So in addition, of course, to death and rebirth cycles, Pluto's presence really amplifies these Aquarian qualities, because Aquarius is like, we're going to do what we need to do. Like Aquarius is the rebel. It's the energy that is going away from status quo and not afraid to break down the things that are not working, but also to bring to power the things that are supportive for the collective. So this new moon feels like it's not just planting the seeds, but really setting the precedent of the energy toward that, toward freedom, toward liberation, toward innovation, right? Toward being like waving your freak flag, doing things differently, and pushing the boundaries of your own comfort zone and the comfort zone of the collective, quite honestly. So through this process, as I'd mentioned, things are going to come up and out. Corruption, falsities, things that have been hidden. Of course, atrocities, you know, humanitarian causes are going to be a continuous theme. Revolution in a lot of different ways. There's so much revolutionary energy, but also connections with science, technology, and innovation. And I, of course, also think AI is a huge thing that so many people are talking about right now. My own brother is very, very deep in that world. And I always say, thank God, Goddess, that he is, because he's such a heart-centered, amazing human. And I feel like we need those people. And he's like an incredible projector. So like we can see the larger picture and who can be like, here are some things that we need to do or have in place so that we don't bite ourselves in the ass. We don't get ourselves into a greater harm or something else that we're trying to move away from, but that then we just do it again, but with AI. So I think that making sure that we support the people who are also in these industries to stay connected, to resource them so that they can stay heart-centered, they could eyes open and not get lost in egoic and hyper-materialism, like egoic pathways and hyper-materialism that I think a lot of people tend to do when they get into those worlds of like technology and software and computer science and all of that. I hope you don't mind my tangents. Because each one of these just kind of reminds me of other things that are happening. And I think that these are all really good reminders for ourselves. Okay, here's another tangent. I think a lot of us, especially in the spiritual world, can condemn things like AI or new technology. And it's like, what good does that do? Condemnation isn't really helpful for anything. I'm really about, okay, well, this is happening. Why is it happening? How is it happening? And how can we assist this evolutionary process in a way that's going to be helpful and fruitful and regenerative, not opposite of, like, basically it's the way that we have been living for so long. Back to this new supermoon in Aquarius. New moons, of course, are known for the perfect time of the month to set intentions. But this particular moon really feels like there's an invitation to do more than just seeding an intention, because we can all have intentions or good intentions, but what really makes that intention turn into a fruitful manifestation is the planning. It's the work prior to the building. It's the setting up the foundation, the energetic structure in the planning of your lifetime, not just your lifetime, but how you plug into the greater timeline of humanity and the evolutionary process. So it's not just thinking, yes, Aquarius can be that individualistic energy and thinking, but it's for the collective. It's remembering that there is the I in unity. And when we start to orient our intention setting in that way, I think it creates a ripple effect. It really ties in the threads that are available to us that are have greater implications, you know, the bigger picture, versus just our microscopic view of our particular life in this particular moment. Okay, so with that, how do we do this? Well, I think even just holding that in our heart, Aquarius is the water bearer. And there's a lot of confusion sometimes around why, well, Aquarius is the water bearer. Why isn't it a water sign and it's an air sign? But Aquarius holds the water, water really symbolizing emotions and I think really spirit through a manifest way, like God through water. And yet it's holding it in a container, this water bearer. And there is a distancing from it, like it's not in the water. The water bearer is not in the water and they are not touching the water in that way. They are utilizing their container, their carafe or whatever it is, the vessel that they're holding to pour this spiritual and emotional sustenance, vitality, life force energy back into the earth. So back to earth, back to the people. And then once it's done and that vessel is empty, then they go back and they bring more of that water. And so there's something around Aquarius as a healer in this way, really here for supporting the masses, the earth, by bringing a lot of intelligence, wisdom, and the emotional and spiritual gifts that are available to us, but in a very, you could say, systematic and sort of analytical way. This water bearer is doing this. So with that, really think about how this energy of this new moon in Aquarius, in this sort of like collective healing energy, how we as humans can take the reign of our lives, but lead them in a way that is holding the collective also in mind and in heart. How can we step more into our power and responsibility and determination to bring forth this spiritual wisdom and truth and emotional tending and stay connected to our star beingness, our galactic beingness as star creatures and beings of the light, and bring it back to Earth, our divine nature here as humans and earth beings. I hope this is making sense because it's just sort of this picture that I'm having in my mind's eye right now. I think it's not something that we can really intellectually, that we're meant to really intellectually grasp, although there, I think through, you know, the Aquarian mindset, there absolutely are ways to go down this rabbit hole and to look at all these different, for example, even looking at myths and this story of the water bearer and the myths that are connected to the water bearer and Aquarius. These can be helpful in understanding really the gifts that are available to us with this energy. And of course, then remembering, okay, well, house is this landing in for you? And so what area of your life is this energy seeding, is watering with this water bearer? During the new moon, there's also going to be a play with the moon and the sun and Uranus. There's a square with Uranus, and Uranus is in Taurus. Uranus is also the modern ruler of Aquarius, and Uranus is connected to sort of like sudden changes or abrupt shifts. And when we think about Uranus and Aquarius, it could be in like electric nature or power outages, internet issues, electromagnetism as well. So sort of thinking about that for your own body too. If these things are playing, they're playing more loudly in your chart, you know, depending on your chart and what signs and planets you got at play in your natal chart. There could be some more solar activity, potentially. I know there were some major solar flares, and we see throughout history certain solar flares sort of blowing out things. And this has happened in history in connection to Uranus as well. We could also see potentially things like cyber attacks, but basically it's about instability and volatility. That's sort of the name of the game when there's a square with Uranus here. And also there could be sudden revelations or understandings or uncoverings of the truth, which seems to be sort of a theme. Speaking of Uranus, we also have Venus and Uranus dancing a little bit in a trine. So this feels like, you know, Venus, when we connect into Venus as it pertains to values and even money, like resources, monetary value, this could be new ideas around currency. And there's, of course, digital currencies that are coming out. But even beyond just the digital currencies, which feels very Aquarian, just sort of changes and new systems or ways of dealing with currencies and, you know, monetary systems. And of course, like, also in line with Aquarius, sort of the decentralization, like that as a focus. So getting outside of the box of centralization and looking at freedom and liberation as it pertains to currency and money. And of course, Venus connected also to love and potentially relationships. So depending on where it's falling in your chart, this could be looking at big changes in your relationships, maybe like greater independence in your relationships. So taking a look at that as well. I feel that this new moon, I mentioned, of course, this being a time of intention setting, but also beyond that with this Aquarius new moon. So really focusing our hearts toward healing for all, for the collective. And if you yourself are aware of somebody who is suffering, who is really going through the ringer right now, whether it's with physical ailments and disease or emotional, mental, or perhaps it's the circumstances that they're in right now in the place where they live or the situation that they're in terms of their household or relationships. This is an opportunity to send them healing, prayer, or energy, or whatever way that feels most natural and resonant for you. There's a lot of power here in giving and sending out, and that altruistic sending out from the heart that inevitably comes back to you, but we're not doing it for that. We're not doing it for the ultimate goal to get some karmic points. It's because we understand that we are not separate. We are not disconnected from the other. And so just like a cell in the body, it's going to be supportive for that cell to support other components of the body or to send love to the body because we are all a part of. We're the same body. We're in the same body. So especially if you feel really passionately about a particular humanitarian issue, you can utilize this new moon to do your magic around sending love, healing, peace, and resolution to the cause. Now, there's also, I think, in general, always an opportunity for all of us to uplift the consciousness of the planet, of our collective consciousness. We do this by, number one, doing it for ourselves, like really in practice, feet on the ground, lifting our own consciousness. And how do we do that in all ways? It's not just this like lofty spiritual bypassing. It's like, no, how do I stay congruent with my heart's truth and also like how I want to live in this higher level of consciousness? And if we're talking about tapping into Christ consciousness and wanting to really live in that way, well, what does that look like in your life? How do you treat your so-called enemies or those who may have hurt you? It's an interesting play because yes, we're still human, right? And it's not about avoidance or just turning a blind eye to atrocities or transgressions, hurtful things that have been done against us or to us or harm in any way. Like, of course not. But it's also about holding a field of awareness, this consciousness, a field of love for all, including those that are the hardest to love. So how can we start practicing that each day? And I think this new moon is a really beautiful one to really start to put that into practice, to really start to play with it in our day-to-day lives and lived experience. Okay, I think that the last thing I want to say about this new moon is that there is ample space that can be created through your will. And space for change that is not only needed, but also desired. So welcoming new changes, utilizing this energy to create space and that room for freedom and expansion and the changes that we so need on an individual level and collective level. Last thing, just in terms of the astrology that's going on, we also have Chiron and the North Node that are pretty close together. And Chiron, as the wounded healer and sort of this archetype of the wounded healer, holding soul level wounds, right? Wounds from past lives, wounds of karmic level, and wounds that we get to deeply understand ourselves and learn lessons around through these wounds, which then alchemize and turn into our greatest gifts. When we have Chiron conjunct or really close to the North Node, and this is the collective North Node, it really feels like this is a time and a signal for deep healing on a collective level, looking at our collective wounds and encouraging us to pursue healing at these deepest levels. So not just on that personal individualistic level, but on that collective and global level as well. So yeah, I think this is a really healing moon, and I think that it's really rich in its energy, And of course, it's going to look different for each person too on an individual level. So really checking that out. Okay, so let's move into some of the medical astrology aspects of Aquarius in particular. So we have a fixed air sign, and the modern ruler of Aquarius is Uranus, but the traditional ruler of Aquarius is Saturn, which, again, I think is really enlightening and fascinating because it might seem contradictory. You know, like now we see in modern astrology, Saturn ruling Capricorn, and we're moving away from Capricorn. We typically associate Capricorn and Saturn with these old structures, but in ancient astrology, in Western, through the Western tradition and Western magical tradition, Saturn is actually very different than what we might think of through the modern astrological lens. Okay, so hands up if you're a perennial student. I feel like when I was younger and people would ask me, what do you want to be when you grow up? I was like, can I just stay a student like forever and always study and learn things? So I feel grateful that part of my job and my duty is to continue in continuing education, especially if you're in service in some way. And as a healer, it's just part of the ethical matrix that you continue to study and learn because everything is ever evolving. So I am a perennial student, especially when it comes to the esoterica and astrology and traditions of astrology. And of course, you know, we're getting into medical astrology here. So I've studied medical astrology through a more traditional Western astrological lens. And now I've been diving deeper into this Western magical lens and looking at the essences and through Hermeticism and through various different lineages. And one of my teachers currently is Matthew, aka Merlin Kenny. He's awesome. Highly recommend you check him out. I'll make sure to include in the show notes. But he has brought to light for me a deeper understanding of Saturn and this through a more traditional, like ancient traditional Western lens and perspective. The way that we look at Saturn and in connection with Capricorn and like building of structure is actually not how Saturn was viewed through these more ancient Western lenses. Saturn, seen as one of the great malefics, and a lot of things still holding true in terms of like its more psychological components and energetics, like more of like paternal father-y type of energy. Although I would say like even now in modern astrology and people saying, well, we don't like this binary system of like father versus mother, masculine versus feminine kind of energy. I still think that there's utility in it because it's actually useful. There's a utility in that understanding, even if it's something that is not like a part of a belief system that you ascribe to. So anyway, looking at Saturn through Matthew, you know, he was teaching us how Saturn is actually not the one that's associated with establishments and structures and orders. That was Jupiter, which is something that sort of really blew my mind. I mean, I understood that Saturn was the ancient ruler of Aquarius, but now it makes so much more sense looking at why. So Matthew goes on to really talk about how Jupiter is the one that builds the foundation for your life and is connected with establishments and structures and all of that. And Saturn doesn't build the structures. Saturn is the one that tears them down. And I feel like that's very Aquarian. Like, that is this connection with Aquarius, and it makes so much sense. And Saturn rules the people outside of the institution. So those that are outside of the belief system, the non-believers and the black magicians, right? The ones that are like going against the dogma or the institutionalized beliefs, which is ruled by Jupiter. I feel like this is kind of really bringing a different perspective now when we look at these energetics too. And it's not to say that modern astrology is wrong. I don't think that I know enough and can say enough because I haven't studied the history and the development and all of that. But I think that it's fascinating to look at the traditional view of Saturn in this way and its connection with Aquarius. So moving forward, Aquarius is also connected with the star card in the tarot. And with many of the star cards, you see the water bearer, this star being that is pouring water back into the earth. So this is very Aquarian, ruled by Aquarius. When it relates to the body, and we connect it to tissue states of the body, so when we look at through a more traditional Western herbalism lens or energetic system, a Western energetic system, that there's varying tissue states within the body that then lead to certain diseases or symptomology. The tissue state associated with Aquarius is there are two, dampness and stagnation through that dampness, and tension and constriction. So think about that for a moment, like in the body, where there might be damp stagnation. So damp stagnation, think kind of swampy vibes, right? Because there's excess water, but there isn't movement. And so that leads to disease that's created through that stagnation. We see that with even through the Ayurvedic lens. And if Agni, that fire, isn't really healthy and that digestive fire and that metabolism isn't there, then things start to slow down and aren't really digested as well. And then there's stagnation that happens and then putrefaction that happens from that stagnation. Same thing that happens, right? When we think about a swamp or we think about a pool of water that just stays there and is stagnant, there's a putrefaction process that begins. It's literally dying. So there's that. And then there's the tension and constriction. And so that I think you can just even feel, I think so many of us in this day and age hold a lot of tension and constriction in our bodies because of, well, stress, daily stressors, life, but also how we sit, the way that we position ourselves. We're looking at our phones, looking down all the time. Maybe how we're sitting on the couch or in the car. We're not moving as much as we used to as humans throughout human history. So a lot of tension and constriction. And I feel like I definitely have that. And it's always sort of working against the grain, like an uphill battle to really feel in flow because, well, I also have my moon in Aquarius. So I think that brings a next level to it. And so anybody who has a lot of energies and energetics and sort of placements that are connected to signs that have these tendencies to have more constriction and tension, you just have to work a little extra at helping yourself out. When it comes to body systems, Aquarius is connected to the lower leg region, so the calves and the ankles. We also see the shin bone, so the front portion of that, the tibia and the fibula, and the Achilles tendon. But Aquarius is also connected to the electrical impulses of the nerves in our nervous system, because we have an electric body. We are electric beings as well. So Aquarius rules that and the circulatory system and elimination. It also rules oxygenation of the cells. So movement of the fluids, the circulation of fluids, of oxygen, of air, the air quality, and electricity through that. So what are some of the imbalances that we can see? Well, there's a lot that can be connected to nervous systems. So nervous system issues or disorders, especially with high sensitivity and hypersensitivity in sensory processing. We can also see hemorrhoids. We can see varicose veins. So that has to do with the circulatory portion and issues with blood toxicity. So toxic load and blood poisoning. That would be sort of the lens through a traditional medical astrology paradigm, like blood poisoning. And that's kind of old school, right, to think about. But it's true that there is toxicity that can run through the blood and through our fluids. We can also see irregularities with the heart through the electrical system. So of course, the heart is also running through an electrical circuit. And if there's any issues with that, then we're probably going to see some irregularities with the cardiovascular system and the heart. Especially if you're an Aquarius sun, there might be some extra attention that you can give to oxygenation of your blood, heart and heart work, the quality of your blood. So some of the keys to Aquarian health, like as an Aquarius sun, would be breath work, oxygen, really good quality air, light, circulatory stimulation, getting that blood moving, any kind of support for blood, increasing the quality of your blood. And with that, iron and the components that are supportive for iron, because iron is one of those that we can have too much of, especially if you don't bleed. You know, if like you don't have a monthly bleed, then your iron stores can tend to increase, especially if you're taking in higher iron containing foods like meats. But in order to utilize the iron well, because a lot of times we can have symptoms of anemia, but it's actually not an iron issue. So we need to look at vitamins and how we're taking that in through our foods and through the elements. Vitamin C, incredibly important. Vitamin A and vitamin D, all the fat-soluble vitamins, vitamin A, D, K, E, really, really important. I would say all the minerals, magnesium, zinc. We need all of these cofactors in order because they don't work alone, right? They're not siloed. They all work together in a beautiful symphony and cascade. So we need to make sure that we're taking those in. And of course, the light and sunlight is going to bring in that beautiful vitamin D. But taking food-based vitamins as much as possible, so like vitamins through the food and then supplementing where you need it. Something that can be helpful to think about is the opposite sign of Aquarius is Leo. Leo is all about the heart, ruling the heart, strong heart and vital force. And that's very natural for Leo. So that's an indication of something that Aquarians might need more support around. So how can we do that with foods? Well, if we're looking at blood-building foods, foods that are really saturated in color, especially the reds, the purples, the blacks. So beets and seaweed as well, because it's like a multi-mineral vitamin when you're taking in seaweed. But yeah, thinking about those types of foods and really heavily mineralized foods, like naturally mineralized foods, that are just in general really supportive for your electrical circuit too, because your electrical circuit, your electric body, so to speak, needs minerals, needs trace minerals, needs sodium and potassium in order to function properly. So making sure you're getting that day to day, especially if you got a lot of Aquarius energy. And of course, it's not just about the physical. We also need to look about emotional needs in this. Relates very much to your moon sign. So my fellow Aquarian moons out there, what do we need in terms of our emotional need? I love Judith Hill as one of my teachers when it comes to medical astrology. I had a podcast episode with her, Medical Astrology 101, one of my top favorite podcasts that I've done of all time. So I'll link that episode up. She's incredible. And she has a whole academy that you can tune into. And her work is just really phenomenal. The legacy that I feel like she's leaving. And she says that although the natal sign, so like the natal sun, so this is your sun sign, right? This indicates the storage battery of vital force. If you think about the vital force coming from the sun, and it's just like where you're getting that energy, and that's your storage battery. Well, your moon sign indicates the manner and the rate of flow of that vital force. So it's important to look at your emotional needs based off of your moon sign. And for Aquarius moon, mental pleasure, titillating pleasure through mental stimulation. And of course, inspiration, any form of inspiration or freedom is really going to be nourishing for these natives. And any kind of intellectual stimulation, deep studies, like I was mentioning, but also bringing forth like a way for this person, or if this is you, a way to channel that in service to others, in service to a collective effort or a higher cause. And so maybe it's a project, maybe it's doing some sort of altruistic volunteer work. Perhaps it's contributing to a cause or a movement that you're really passionate about. Don't underestimate that kind of nourishment, especially for Aquarius moons. Also, humor and comedy, especially absurd nature of comedy, that can be really healing as well. So making sure, again, that you're supporting your heart, and your heart on a very deep emotional level as well, is going to assist the physicality of the heart and the physical state of the heart too, and your blood. Okay, so when we look at herbs, other herbs, I mentioned some foods that can be really supportive and helpful, but when we look at herbs, again, we're looking through the lens of what are these herbs supporting and how can we bring in support for the electrical system, the nervous system, relaxation. If there's tension and constriction, how can we bring in relaxing herbs, relaxants? And if there is dampness and stagnation, how can we bring in a little bit of heat and a little bit of movement? So those are clues as it pertains to the types of herbs and foods that are going to be helpful when it comes to their energetics. Some of the top ones that I love to work with for myself, especially as an Aquarius moon, lavender is one of my top ones. Really, really loving. I can't use it all the time. I feel like it's really just, it's potent when used, when needed, as needed, and in small amounts. But lavender is so lovely. I'll talk more about lavender in just a moment. But some of the other ones that are coming through for me are catnip as well, really, especially for the little ones, the little kiddos who maybe have issues or trouble with sleepy time. Some chamomile and catnip can be really, really lovely and helpful and gently sedating, you know, just like supporting the nervous system in that way. We can also see any and all of the oats. I'm a huge fan of milky oats in particular. That is especially helpful for the nervous system. And skullcap. I mean, gosh, all of them, right? Passion flower, skullcap, valerian. I mentioned motherwort in our last moon musing. All of those are really, really supportive for the nervous system and supportive for Aquarius. One that I really like too, that I was working with more before I had a kid, and this was just like in terms of my drink every day, I would make kava kava, or take a little bit of the tincture daily. And especially when there was hard physical work that was done, or like just a lot of hiking that was being done, a lot of gardening work, all of that, kava kava was kind of a nice way to celebrate that work at the end of the day and to rest into like really relaxing the muscles and the nervous system. Like still having sort of this elevated feeling for the heart. You know, it's kind of like, it's not a depressant. It has an uplifting energy as well. This is a communal oriented herb and drink. Of course, kava has been an important part of the culture in Pacific Islanders for thousands of years. And it's been used for religious rituals and gatherings, community gatherings, family ceremonies, and other events. So I see it really as a communal type of, like it really supports the community coming together, expression and emotion coming through so that communication can open up. And I think in this way, it's such a really beautiful ally for Aquarians and with this Aquarius new moon. Coming back to lavender, well, when you look at it through the lens of astrology, it also has Mercury as a ruler. But Mercury is again, connected to air, sort of like that electrical feels that it feels very Aquarian too, very similar energetically. So lavender is really supportive for these types. So if you're feeling like, okay, this sounds like me, maybe there's some extra tension or nervousness, or you're just a little bit more sensitive as it pertains to your electrical body and to electromagnetism. Maybe turning your brain off is kind of tough. So lavender can be really helpful for that. I love my little herbal astrology oracle deck by Adriana Ayales from Anima Mundi. Lavender, through her lens, is the weaver of potential. And so really connected to new beginnings and intuitive intellect, but also emotional fulfillment. So this is what we're talking about with the highest expression of Aquarius, right? Lavender has a long history of use. And we see this in Egypt. We see it in ancient Greece and with the Romans learning so much, both of them learning and receiving a lot of the traditions from the Egyptians regarding the healing power of lavender and its medicinal scent. So in Egypt, in ancient Egypt, lavender was used for perfumery and cleansing and mummification, the mummification process. Also seen as a healing salve, was revered and sort of seen as sacred and connected to high priests in use with healing oils and perfumes and such. Later, we see lavender being used to relieve pain. So taken internally, helping with all types of pain, indigestion or menstrual cramps, issues with the throat, headaches. It was also used to treat burns and skin ailments as an antiseptic. And of course, we know lavender as a nervine. It's a relaxant for the nervous system and really helps to induce a calm feeling and helps with sleep. And it can also boost the mood. And that's its elevating nature, even though it's relaxing. We see that lavender also has this connection with Mercury, as I mentioned, and Virgo through that. But again, I feel like it's very connected to Aquarius and seen as an Aquarian guardian herb, if you will. Because of the same reasons, lavender really opens up the mental channels through its ability to bring calmness and sort of like soothing the nerves, right? So that we can come into a more refined, calm, mental, finely attuned state that opens up communication, opens up the channels for circulation, and brings balance to that as well, and sort of eases up on the tension and brings movement to any stagnation. While energetically it's sort of neutral or even cooling, it's still uplifting and soothing, and it's moving in that way. So it's an aromatic carminative. So it brings movement here, which is great for that stuckness or stagnation. And specifically, stuck emotional patterns associated with the heart and with the liver. So we hold a lot in our liver, particularly a lot of heat, a lot of anger. And so I feel like when we hold these stuck emotional patterns in our body, it leads to not only stagnation, but repression, depression. And we can start to see energetically, vibrationally, moving downward. So sadness, depression, and any kind of repression. And we can also see this in connection with like sensuality and sexuality and repression of sexuality. So the angst that can come with that. It pairs really well with other uplifting and soothing nervines, like lemon balm is super, super wonderful, really helping to act very quickly on heart-centered people that also happen to have anxiety and or depression. So really, really useful in our herbal ally toolkit. And it's very gentle too. So you can use lavender, work with lavender with infants even and children. You know, of course, work with somebody who knows how to utilize herbs, and you can administer it in the safest way. But it's really helpful for colic in infants and children with nervousness or anxiety. And in general, I mentioned it's great for like indigestion and digestive issues, for example, dyspepsia from nervousness and anxiety and or depression, where there is poor stomach motility. And what happens there, that's like that low Agni that I talked about before. So it could bring movement by bringing soothingness and sort of this uplifting energy to the emotional body and therefore the physical body. So really, really lovely to work with if you're feeling you got some tension and too much Aquarian energy or mental stuff going on. It can be really helpful to bring in lavender. And sometimes people think like lavender is a little too much, like it's a little too strong, especially for highly sensitive people. So use very little of it. I really preferred the, if you can find the actual flowers of lavender, fresh flowers of lavender versus the essential oils, because I felt that it was always a little too strong for me personally. But you can work with it as you like. One last thing that I'll say is, especially when we look at in our modern age and with technology, those that have a lot of Aquarius energy, and especially like Aquarius suns, rising, and moon, check your use of electronics and things that are devices that are outputting EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, the non-native electromagnetic frequencies, even native EMFs, if they're really strong, can be disruptive for us too. We're just a little bit more attuned to it and sensitive to it. So pay attention to the electromagnetic fields. Pay attention to your use of computers and phones and anything, any device that's emitting EMF. Pay attention to your environment of power lines, where the power source is in like the Wi-Fi is in your home, like the router and such. Just bringing mindfulness and attention to that can be really helpful, because then we can mitigate it. We can reduce it. We could do something about it. And that in doing so, you're really nourishing your nervous system on a daily basis, because these are not things that we see or that we are readily aware of. And it takes some detective work. So that's what I'll say to that. And it's really helpful to combine that with heart healthy tonics to support your heart and your electrical systems. All right, well, that's what I have for you for this new moon musing for this beautiful Aquarius super new moon. And again, I just want to remind you that I have this beautiful mentorship available for just a very small handful of folks who might be interested in working with me privately. This is a private one-on-one mentorship, Awaken the Oracle Within. You can click the link in the show notes or go to wildlyrooted.com/oracle to learn more. And if you're interested in that, but maybe it's too big of a leap for you at this moment in this time in your life, I just opened up my books for Akashic Soul Record readings, one-on-one Akashic Soul Record readings. And you can find those on my website at wildlyrooted.com/Akashic Records. And of course, the links below. I would love to support you in this new moon time and for 2024. So let's make magic together. I'll see you next time on the Feed Your World podcast. Until then, be well, my friends.